better buy Bird's Eye.
Bird's Eye Frosted Foods.
Bird's Eye Frosted Foods present the Dinah Shore program with Wally Brown, Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra, the Joseph Lilly Singers, our special guest Bill Harris, and
Dinah.
Is there anyone finer than Dinah Shore?
In all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the chill. In every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is through, looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Everybody, this is Dinah, and tonight our guest is that debonair man about music, if it's in the key of C, the real brains behind Jack Benny, my old friend Phil Harris.
Hiya, Jackson.
Oh, wait a minute, Phil, I'm not Jack Benny, you
Boy,
know.
Are you lucky.
I don't know if I'm so lucky. I've worked with Jack, and I think he's a pretty swell guy.
A guy, yes. Swell, maybe, but pretty, no, Dinah.
Well, listen, Phil, now that Jack is off the air for the summer, what you going to do with yourself?
Well, I'm going to improve my mind, Dinah. You know, every night I curl up in a chair with my two kids and a good book.
Isn't that kind of crowded?
Yeah, but somebody's got to read to me. You know, I'm even catching up on my movies. I went to see Jack Benny's picture, George Washington Slept Here.
Oh, I missed that picture, Phil. What was it about?
Who knows? Phil Harris slept there, too. It makes you sleep. It's a sleepy picture. You know, Dinah, I've been beat ever since the Benny Show made that trip to Canada. What a miserable time. 6 days and six nights on the water.
But I talked to Jack, and he said he didn't mind the trip at all.
Well, why should he mind? We were doing all the rowing.
What was Jack doing while you were rowing?
Playing Love and Bloom, honey. Playing Love and Bloom. You know that character.
Probably the first time in his life Jack ever had an audience that couldn't walk out on him.
Yeah. Boy, you know that Canada's a hectic town. Backstage at the theater, one fella kept walking into the chorus girl's dressing room by mistake and got the girls all upset.
What happened to him?
Well, they threatened to take away my yo-yo, so I stopped going in there. You know? But look, no kidding, that Montreal is out of this world.
Out of this world? Tell me, were you in Montreal or Brooklyn?
And was I a man about town? I mean, I really got around, riding up and down on the 3rd Avenue L.
Say, Phil, the 3rd Avenue L is in New York.
Well, no wonder those Canadians stared out their windows when I rode by.
Montreal must really be crowded with all those soldiers and transients.
You know about them transients, too, huh? They're great, ain't they?
Great.
Yeah, you know, I looked over them one of them transits into the room next to mine, and ooh, what I saw. so?
Oh, Phil.
Well, what's the matter? I saw her brother. Look, I'm glad I made that trip, though. You know, that travel kind of broadens a guy's mind.
I bumped into Don Wilson today. I know what you mean.
Oh, that girl. Look, coming back to the railroad, the company gave me the best accommodations they had. You know, those railroads are swell. Don't let people say that or complain about trains. You know, this car I was on was completely air-conditioned.
Wasn't crowded at all.
Not after they took the cattle off in Chicago. Oh, no. You know, you see a lot of interesting things on a trip like that. Well, I was riding through the desert, and I even saw a mirage. That's something that isn't all there.
It's yeah, kind of... that's strange, isn't it? You see something, and it isn't all there.
Hello, Dinah.
Oh, Wally Brown. Yeah. Wally, meet Phil. Phil, meet Wally.
Gee, I'm glad to meet you, Phil. You know, I've always wanted to ask you something. When you play the accordion, does it tickle your tummy?
Look, the accordion?
Yeah. You're Phil Baker, aren't you?
I am.
Oh, Wally, this is Phil Harris.
Oh, I remember now. You're Phil Harris, the orchestra leader. You know, I almost became a musician myself.
You did?
Yep, right after I was born, the nurse put an art book, a bank book, and a music book beside my crib.
And you grabbed the music book?
No, I grabbed the nurse. Oh. I mean... Say, how come a great musician like you lets himself be kicked around on the Benny Show? You know, you ought to have a singing program of your own.
Oh, no, I'd make too much money.
Is that bad?
Why, certainly it's bad, you guys. When people play, you hear me pay, and they want to pay, and they want to hear me sing, then I get nervous. And when I get nervous, I can't sing, and when I can't sing, I can't wind up with no cabbage.
Oh.
You know, you can't get nothing there.
Oh, gee, I'm glad I can't sing.
I got nothing there.
Phil, listen, if singing is out, what kind of program do you want to do? Comedy, variety, or mystery, or what?
Nah, that's not for me, Dinah. After all, I'm a guy with very high IQs, you know. I mean, I'm a character that's as intellect as I am. I ought to be able to kill him on a quiz program.
Sure, you could play nothing on Double or Nothing.
Sure, it's a cinch. You know, I met a lot of showgirls in Canada. And you know, them showgirls, they know all the answers. Well, and I picked up quite a few myself.
No.
That's what they said. That's what the girls said. They said that.
If you do a quiz show, aren't you afraid people are going to get you confused with Phil Baker?
How could they? I don't play the sax.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Phil Baker plays the accordion.
Say, you got a good ear for music.
Say, Phil, if you get a quiz program, you'll be a big shot.
Sure, I'll be just like Jackson Benny.
Well, that's the chance you take. You know what I'll do? I'll go out and get you a sponsor.
But wait a minute. I hear getting a sponsor's a man-sized job.
Oh, well, let's let Wally try it anyway.
Okay.
And I'll do it, too. Where there's a will, there's a way. I'll come back with millions. Hey, anybody got a nickel for car fare? Say, miss, are you sure this is the Quint Whistle Wash Rag Company? I've been sitting in the waiting room 15 minutes just cooling my heels.
If they get too cold, let me know. The office boy would just love to give you a hot foot.
Now, listen, young lady, I insist on seeing one of your superiors. I'm going in on my own.
That's what you'll come out on, too.
Come in.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't be an executive. Well, I'll bet you're not over 14 years old.
What's the matter, bud? Haven't you heard of the manpower shortage? Why, we're even forced to employ rabbits in the accounting department.
Wait a minute. Rabbits? You're kidding.
If you doubt my word, just take a look through that door.
2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 4 is 8. 2 times 8 is 16.
Well, what do you know? Rabbits multiplying like people.
Now, do you believe I'm the vice president?
Yeah, but this is an important company. How can a mere child like you keep his end up?
Simple. Starch in my rumpers.
That's a barefaced lie. I demand to see the president of this company about my quiz program.
Okay, but you'll be sorry.
Mr. Quintwhistle?
Yes, and whatever it is, the answer's no.
But, Mr. Quintwhistle, I'm Wally Brown.
In that case, 1,000 times no.
Cosmo, shut your big gap.
Yes, Mrs. Quintwhistle.
Speak up, young man. Speak up. I wear the pants in this family.
Oh, so that's why Cosmo's wearing that organdy dress.
And you needn't turn up your nose, either. I've got nicer ones than this at home.
All right, state your business, young man.
I've got a quiz program.
Not interested, young man. Close the door behind
you. Well, now, don't be so hasty, my love. Maybe this fellow's got something there.
Osmo, please be good enough to shut your yap.
It's shut, my love.
And stop yanking your girdle.
Yes, stop yanking. Say, I don't want to butt in, but don't you think it's about time you started breaking it up?
The argument?
No, the furniture.
Young man, just what do you imagine your quiz program could do for the house of Quintwhistle? Are you familiar with our product?
Tell him, Butch, tell him.
We're the manufacturers and distributors of the Quintwhistle perforated wash rag, patent pending. Just rip down the middle, use half for the hands and half for the feet. For people with 3 feet, we recommend the giant economy size.
Oh, well, then our quiz program is just the thing. Why, it'll put Quintwhistle wash rags on every tongue.
You're rather messy, don't you think?
How's this sound? Quintwhistle is on the air. Does your wash rag feel different lately? Use your wash rag twice a day. See your face twice a year. The fuzz on Quintwhistle wash rags is pure fuzz. No other wash rag can make that statement.
That is, without a doubt, the sorriest excuse for an idea I've ever heard.
Okay, if you don't want Phil Harris.
I don't want Phil Harris. He's my Prince Charming. Cosmo, we are now sponsoring a quiz program.
Yeah, but my love.
Cosmo, shut your big yap. Well, I'm off to the beauty parlor.
You know, Cosmo, your wife is a dreamboat.
Yes, and rather wide around the keel, isn't she?
Well... Well, what do you say, Quint? Is it a deal?
No. If Phil Harris went on the air with the quiz program, Phil Baker could sue. The public would be confused.
It's ridiculous. I'll take it to my lawyer. Cosmo, hand me that phone.
Hello?
Dinah? Everything's set. I've got a sponsor for Phil.
Oh, Wally, you're remarkable.
And I'll be there in a few minutes. There are a couple of things I got to straighten out with my lawyer. See you later.
Okay. Toby, did you hear that? Wally's got a sponsor for Phil Harris's quiz program.
Oh, that's wonderful, Donna. You know, maybe I can give him a few pointers. These past couple of weeks, I've had to answer a lot of questions.
You have? Like what, for instance?
Well, for instance, like what to do when you're feeling hot and tired and you're not in the mood to cook dinner. Well, the answer is, get yourself a package of Bird's Eye oven-baked beans. Now, let them thaw, and then when supper time comes around, simply serve them to your family cold. Whip up a quick, crisp green salad to go with them, make some iced coffee or tea, and you've got a meal that can't help but go over big. For those Bird's Eye oven-baked beans are delicious New England-style baked beans that are baked for 12 hours in brick ovens, baked the old-fashioned way with pork and molasses. Then when they reach simmering perfection, they are quick frozen so that every bit of their right-out-of-the-oven goodness is sealed in until you're ready to eat them. Cold or hot, Bird's Eye oven-baked beans are a truly tempting old-fashioned treat. Easy to serve, mighty easy to eat. They're a wonderful item, too, to take along on a picnic and serve as is or in sandwiches. Bird's Eye baked beans require no ration points either, and you'll find a plentiful supply at your Bird's Eye food store. So buy a couple of packages and keep them in the freezing compartment of your refrigerator. Then you'll have them handy all the time. But whenever you buy quick-frozen baked beans, always be sure you ask for and get the package marked Bird's Eye. For there are many brands of frosted foods, many brands of baked beans, but only one that offers you true Bird's Eye quality. Bird's Eye oven-baked beans in the package with Bird's Eye right on it.
The lyrics of the song coming up next will bring back memories of pleasanter days. And folks, that extra war bond you buy will bring those blue skies back that much quicker.
Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds sing in a song, nothing but bluebirds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my heart flies. nothing but blue skies from now on.
Never saw the sun shining so bright.
Never saw things going so right.
Noticing the days hurrying by.
When you're in love, my oh my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Dinah, you're a contralto, aren't you?
That's right, and you're a baritone.
Well, I wasn't always a baritone. When I was little, I was a boy soprano, but then I guess everybody was.
That's silly, not me. I was a girl soprano.
Oh.
Oh, boy, did I fix things up.
Wally, what did the sponsor say?
Mrs. Quintwhistle said yes.
Well, listen, who's Mrs. Quintwhistle?
Whistle.
Oh, Whistle.
Why, she's, you never saw such a, oh, she's a, and she's gonna, and when she does, brother, there won't even, you could, people all, Does your wash rag feel different lately?
Wally.
Harris, don't answer that question.
Well, I won't.
Wally, who's this?
The name is Phineas T. Penal Code, madam. Attorney at large. Mr. Harris, I congratulate you. You've hired one of the hardest working lawyers in the country. Why, I didn't budge from behind my desk for 7 whole months.
Couldn't get away from your work?
No, couldn't get my pants back from the cleaners.
Well, look, Bud, what makes you think I need a lawyer?
I intend to prove that you had the idea for a quiz program before Phil Baker did, and we're going to sue.
But I don't want to sue anybody, and furthermore, I was never on a quiz program.
My dear Mr. Harris, would you be so kind as to shut your big yap? Just answer me this. Did you ever ask any questions on the radio?
Well, once on the Benny program, I asked Jackson for $25 he owed me.
There, you see, you asked questions on the air about money. Therefore, you had the original idea for a radio quiz program.
See, I heard that show.
Well, then you're a witness. Now, Miss Shaw, think carefully. When Mr. Harris asked Mr. Benny for $25, what did Mr. Benny say?
Well, let's see now. Mr. Benny said, here's $1.50. Take it or leave it.
And I took it.
Makes it an open shut case, an open shut case.
Well, you open that case again and I'll take a pint.
See. Phil, I'm beginning to think this fella's a shyster.
I heard that. Young lady, to the untutored eye, I may look like a shyster. But deep down inside...
Yes?
You ever seen my operation?
Hey, look, get out. I've had enough of this. Get out, will you? Go ahead.
Oh, Phil, now control yourself.
Well...
Count up to 10.
Do what?
Count up to 10.
What, and take my shoes off in front of all these people?
Listen to counsel, Harris. Now, here's how you stand in a nutshell.
Oh, I object.
On what grounds?
Well, it's tough standing on a nutshell without any shoes, that's all.
Objection overruled. Miss Shaw, where were you on the night of...
I was listening to the radio.
What are you doing tomorrow night?
I object.
On what grounds?
I've already asked the witness that question.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we stick together, you stand to make thousands. And I stand to make millions. We'll sue Phil Baker, we'll sue Mrs. Baker. There must have been thousands of people on the program. We'll sue everybody. Brown, you ever been on Take It or Leave It?
Me?
Tell the truth or take the consequences.
Are we going to sue that program, too?
Come clean, Brown. Were you ever on Take It or Leave It?
Well, to tell the truth, I was, and I made
$64.
No, wrong answers.
Oh, now, wait a minute. The contestants must be scattered to the four corners of the globe. Who are we going to get to find them?
Mrs. Roosevelt, if you can find her.
I know a chorus girl who won $64. Question is, how are we going to get it?
I'll squeeze it out, Everett. Look, get away, bud. Dinah, who's this fella coming up from the audience?
Gee, I don't know, Phil.
Hello.
Say, who are you?
I'm Wayman Whitecliff. Please don't sue me just because...
Just because what?
Just because I won $64 on that program where they give away Indian blankets.
Indian blankets?
That's why. Take it or weave it.
Oh. I'll handle this. Where do you live, Mr. Ratcliffe?
In the San Fernando Valley.
Where's that?
Number 4 on the hit parade.
Look, how much do you win on Take It or Leave It, Raymond?
$64 in an Eversharp Skyline with Peter Pencil with a 6-month supply of wet.
What do you have... What do you have left?
6 months supply of wet. What happened to the money, Raymond? First, I invested $10 as a down payment on a building what?
A building what?
That's right.
A white what?
Who said anything about the what being white? A white what would be where?
All right, where is it?
Where is what?
You said the white what was where. Now, where is it and what is it?
Look, mister, my name is Waymond Watcliffe, not Wu Costello.
Raymond, tell us, how much did you have left after you bought whatever it was you bought?
97 cents.
Well, what did you do with that?
I bought my wife a coat.
You bought your wife a coat?
Yep.
Well, now, what kind of coat could you buy your wife for 97 cents?
A petticoat.
Look, attorney, penal code. This idea of suing everybody who won money on take it or leave it is ridiculous. It's reluctant, and furthermore, Well, don't you see, you'll never collect a dime from these contestants.
Well, we can still take over the Phil Baker program, can't we?
Look, fellas, let's drop the whole thing. Quiz programs are on their way out anyhow.
Why?
Because the big question's been answered. He's running again.
Who?
Hitler. We got him running across Cherbourg.
Yeah!
Back on New York's 52nd Street, there's a wonderful character called Henry Nemo. The Neem, as he dubs himself, is practically the Webster of modern jive lingo. And when he isn't giving out with hep jargon, he's creating lovely tunes like this. Tear a star from out the sky, and the sky feels blue. Tear a petal from a rose, and a rose weeps too. Take your heart away from mine, and mine will surely break. My life is yours to make. So please keep the spark away. Would you take the wings from birds so that they can fly? Would you take the ocean's roar and keep just a sigh? I ask of you, don't take your love from me.
Would you take the wings from birds so that they can't fly? Would you take the ocean's roar? Just a siren.
Oh, this your heart won't let you do. This is what I beg of you. Don't take your love from me.
That was really a lovely song.
Thank you, Toby.
Mr. Weed, may I see you for a minute, please?
What? Oh, Raymond Radcliffe. Sure, Raymond, what's up?
Oh, Mr. Weed, if you'd only warned me.
About what, Raymond?
Well, it's this way. My widow Wadey, my wife, works as a riveter.
You mean riveter?
That's what I said, riveter. Well, I've been elected to take care of our widow home. But, oh, Mr. Weed, if you'd only warned me.
Warned you about what, Raymond?
Well, you see, since I'm chief cook and bottle washer, I must do the shopping for our widow home, too. And yesterday, before my widow wife left for work, she told me to have some bird's-eye quick-frozen broccoli for dinner last night.
Oh, bird's-eye broccoli, eh?
Yep. So I went down to the bird's-eye store and opened the bird's-eye cabinet and, oh, Mr. Weed, I couldn't find any bird's-eye broccoli. It was a terrible shock, really.
But you must realize, Raymond, because of wartime shortages, the Birdseye folks aren't always able to pack enough of their delicious fruits and vegetables. And that's why you sometimes can't get the specific Birdseye food you want.
Oh, if I'd only realize that, Mr. Weed.
And when you want a certain Birdseye vegetable, like you did and can't find it, take another. If you can't find Birdseye broccoli, try squash or corn or Brussels sprouts. They're all equally good.
Oh, but that's the terrible part of it all, Mr. Weed. I took another brand of broccoli, not Birdseye.
Oh, for shame, Raymond. Well, if you want the real Birdseye garden fresh flavor, the high Birdseye quality, your package has to carry the Birdseye label. For none but the genuine Birdseye has that famous Birdseye quality and deliciousness.
Well, if I'd only known, but I didn't. And I took this other broccoli home and cooked it. And when my widow wife got a taste of it, she was very angry because it didn't taste at all like Birdseye broccoli.
Well, that'll learn you, Raymond. From now on, always be sure you pick the package marked Birdseye for the better buy in frosted foods.
My widow wife was very angry, and you know what she did just in spite?
No, what?
Just in spite, she threw a party in the backyard. Wasn't that terrible?
But, Raymond, what's so terrible about your wife throwing a party in the backyard?
Well, Mr. Weed, that party was me.
Now, the noise of the river, sure, I don't mind. 'Cause the man with the whiskers has a lot behind it. But I can't keep punching with that victory crew when you're making me punchy with that bottled moo. Milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Can't use that jive on my milk diet. So, milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Been jumping on the swing shift all night, turning out my quarter. All right, now I'm beat right down to the side, and I've got to dig myself some knots. So milkman, keep those bottles quiet.
Been knocking out a fat tank
all day,
working on a bomber.
Well, okay.
Oh, you blast my wig with those crinks.
And I've got to get my 40 winks. So, milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Now, the noise of the river, I don't mind it, 'cause the man with the whiskers has a lot behind it. But I can't keep punching with that victory crew when you're making me punchy with that bottled moo. I wanna give my all if I'm gonna give it, but I gotta get my shot out if I'm gonna rivet. So fill out butt with that milk barrage, 'cause it's unpatriotic, it's a sabotage. Milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Milkman, keep those bottles quiet.
Quiet!
Coming over tonight, it was swell having you. Next week, we got a little deal cooked up that ought to make the headlines, if it can work out okay. Confidentially, we're going to try to get Vera Vague married off to Ransom Sherman right here on the program. But don't anybody tell Sherman. You're all invited to the ceremony. See you then, huh? Night.
This is Toby Reed saying, better buy Birdseye. Be sure and remember, next week, our wedding guest will be Ransom Sherman and Vera Vague. But look, don't nobody tell Sherman. And now, goodbye from Birdseye. Until next week. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.